Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. Thank you for listening today. Would you get your Bible and get ready to turn the pages with me and check the scripture, compare the scripture. And if you don't have a Bible, may I suggest that you get a pencil and a piece of paper and write the scripture references down. As you know, we've been talking to you about prayer, and we've done this for quite some time. Our aim is not just to talk to you about prayer. Our aim is to show you a means whereby you can get to Almighty God. And so I've tried to emphasize the fact that the only way to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in John chapter 14, notice in verse 6, John chapter 14 verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the medium whereby we can get to God Almighty, the medium whereby we get to the Father, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read from verse 11. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. The people that he's writing to at Ephesus at one time were referred to as the uncircumcision by that which was referred to as the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Verse 12, that at that time, the time of verse 12 is the time past of verse 11. At that time you were without Christ. Reason. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. In other words, these Ephesians to whom Paul is writing this letter, at one point in their lives, had no access to God. They were without Christ, and the reason they were without Christ is because they were not allied with Israel. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now, I've talked to you before about how that in time past, in the Old Testament scriptures, God Almighty exalted Israel above the Gentiles. Moses was called upon Mount Sinai, and God Almighty spoke to him in Exodus chapter 19, and he said, Moses, go speak unto Israel, tell my people, if you will obey my covenants and keep my commandments, you shall be unto me a peculiar treasure above all people of the earth. All the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Check it out. Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 through about 5, 6, 7 along in there. So Israel as a nation was exalted above the Gentiles. On my chart, I've got Israel up here, the Gentiles down here. Now, they were not exalted physically, they were exalted spiritually and politically. In other words, the spiritual truths of Almighty God came to the Gentiles through the nation Israel. They were the priest of God. And at that time, the political power on the face of this earth was given through Israel. David, the king, conquered the world. And so the world went up to worship through Israel and whatever at that time. So Israel was exalted above the Gentiles. God Almighty had said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, he said, Abraham, I bless you, and I bless your seed. The seed of Abraham is Israel. He said, I'll bless you, and I'll bless your seed, and I'll curse them that curse you. So any nation that did not bless Israel during that time, God Almighty cursed. Those that cursed Israel, God cursed. Now, I'm sure there could have been some neutral nations back there, but nevertheless, God's blessing upon the people came to the people through the nation Israel. Jesus Christ came unto Israel. So in here, I'll say that this represents Matthew through John. Jesus Christ came unto his own. The Bible said in Romans chapter 15, verse 8, that Jesus Christ, the minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. So in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll have the minister of Jesus Christ unto Israel, not the Gentiles. He said to a Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When he sent the apostles out in Matthew chapter 10, he said, go not in the way of the Gentiles, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So at that time, the ministry of the Lord was to the nation Israel. I've got down here, foundation. There was a church at that time. That church was built upon a foundation. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus Christ asked the apostles, who do men say that I am? They said, some say one thing, some another. But he said to Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 16 said, He said, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So at that time there was a foundation upon which the church at that time was established. That church is Jewish in nature, and they're called a nation of priests in 1 Peter chapter 2. There is no doubt about that. Anybody that believes the Bible means exactly what it says, as it says it, where it says it, cannot miss the fact that Peter, later on, and the passage in 1 Peter represents them in the tribulation, and he says that they are a nation, and that they are a priesthood of God, and so forth. So at that time, they're built upon a foundation. That foundation is Christ. Christ is the rock. And so when Jesus Christ asked Peter, who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, upon this foundation, I will build my church. That church then is built upon the belief and the faith that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the rock of God. You find a reference to that in Deuteronomy chapter 32, and you find a reference to that rock, which is Christ, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through about 3. That rock was Christ, and it's a reference to water that was given of them. So the foundation is a rock. That foundation is a Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the rock that they are built upon. So there is a church at that time. That church is built upon a foundation. Then, later on, the Lord called the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. And Paul was given a message that is called the gospel. It's called the gospel of Christ in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. In Romans 1, 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That gospel is referred to as Paul's gospel. He calls it my gospel in Romans chapter 2, verse 16. He calls it my gospel in Romans chapter 16, verse 25. He calls it my gospel in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Paul's gospel. What is that gospel? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, he refers to the gospel which I preached unto you, the Corinthians. He says it's the gospel whereby you were saved. He said it's the gospel which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So then Paul was given a gospel. The gospel that Paul was given is not the same gospel of the kingdom. It is not the good news of the kingdom that was going to be established. It's the good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. What am I getting to? I'm getting to the fact that everybody comes to God through Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ is not always preached unto people in the same manner. For instance, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and in Acts chapter 1 through 9, Jesus Christ is preached unto Israel as their king. Peter said in Acts chapter 2 that God hath raised up Christ that you crucified and raised him up to be king of Israel. He's to sit upon the throne of David. He's to reign over the house of Jacob. He did not preach Jesus Christ dying for your sins. He said, you by wicked hands have slain. You by wicked hands have crucified the Lord. You kill the Prince of Life. But God hath raised him up. And he said in Acts chapter 2 that God raised him up to sit on the throne of David. And yet Paul preaches that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. Peter never did preach that Jesus Christ died for our sins. They said unto Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, what must we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. He said, for the promise is unto you and to your seed and as many as are far off. And on he goes. Well, then how could they be saved back there? They could be saved by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the heir to the throne of David, and they could be identified with him as king. They could be identified in water baptism, looking for salvation at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when according to Ezekiel chapter 13, the fountain of cleansing shall be opened unto Israel at that time. But how about Paul? Paul preached that Jesus Christ died for our sins. In Acts chapter 16, a man said unto Paul, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In Matthew chapter 19, a man said to Jesus, what must I do that I may have eternal life? Jesus Christ told him two things to do. Jesus Christ told him to keep the commandments. The man said, I already have. And Jesus said, you lack something. Sell everything you've got, give to the poor, and come follow me. Now you cannot avoid that truth if you'll believe your Bible and read it like it is in Matthew 19. Don't make something out of it that isn't there. Do not take Paul's gospel and integrate it in Matthew 19. When that man said, what must I do? The creator of heaven and earth, the God of all things, the Savior of all men said, keep the commandments. Somebody said, but he's just kidding around. He never did kid around. He said, keep the commandments. Paul said that if you go under the law, you're fallen from grace. And he said in Romans chapter 7, verse 4, that we're dead to the law. He said in Romans chapter 10, that the people are trying to attain righteousness by the law, and that we're dead to the law. Yet Jesus Christ told that man in Matthew 19, when he said, what must I do that I might have eternal life? Jesus said, keep the commandments. And when that man said, I already have, he said, but you lack something. Sell everything you've got and give it to the poor and come follow me. That is emphatic. It is pure and it's right. He did not say, I'm going to die for your sins at Calvary, therefore believe in me. He didn't say that at all. He said, keep the commandments and sell out everything you got. Then in Acts chapter 2, they said unto Peter, what must we do? And he said, repent and be baptized in every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. In Acts chapter 19, he said unto them, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, when times of oppression shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, which the heavens must retain until the restitution of all things. That is emphatic. It is right. You must rightly divide the word of truth. Jesus Christ told men to do something to be saved. Peter told men, do something to be saved. Repent and be baptized to get remission of sins. That's what he said. The Philippian jailer said to Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul didn't tell him to do anything physical to get saved. He told him, believe something. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What about the Lord Jesus Christ? According to Paul's gospel, Jesus Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day. The Bible said God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. The Bible said that God made him to be sin for you. Him who knew no sin became your sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. So what do you need to do to be saved? Absolutely nothing. Everything has been done that can be done to get you saved. Jesus Christ did it all at Calvary. Jesus Christ hung upon Calvary and became your sin at Calvary. And God judged your sins at Calvary, poured out his wrath on your sins at Calvary. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus Christ paid the price for your salvation at Calvary. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So you'll notice that in my chart, I've got a foundation right here. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Then Paul is he's the foreman on the job that we're working on. I'm the wise master builder, he said. And he said, I laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Let a man take heed how he buildeth thereon. He said, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But he said, I laid the foundation. Well, the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, is not exactly the same in Romans through Philemon as it is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts 1 through 9. What's the difference? Back here, it's Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and risen to sit upon the throne of David. Risen as King of Israel. Raised from the dead. Believe in him and be identified with him in water baptism. What's the foundation of Paul? Jesus Christ died for your sins. Jesus Christ paid for your sins. You look back to the cross for atonement. Those that believed in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so forth look forward to the second coming of Christ for atonement. Paul was given the dispensation of the gospel according to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, 17, 18. Read it. He said he was committed a dispensation. It's the dispensation of the gospel. He said, I preach the gospel. What is this good news that Paul preached? That good news is that Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again. So then, how do you get to God today? Well, go back to Ephesians again and notice something. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. Back here, we were Gentiles in the flesh. Israel at that time gathered around the tabernacle, as we discussed in previous messages. Three tribes on either side of the tabernacle on the Day of Atonement. There were Gentiles sprinkled among them. Strangers that came in among Israel and received the blessings of the atonement, because they believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they had faith in the sacrifices that the priest offered. When Jesus Christ came, there were Gentiles that got to God at that time through Israel as a nation. That Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15 said, Lord, come heal my daughter. She's grievously vexed with the devil, but he answered her not a word. And so the disciples came and said, send this woman away. She crieth after us. And Jesus turned to that woman and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that woman said, in effect, that is true and I understand that. But she said, he told her, it is not right to take the children's bread. The children are the apostles and the believers. It's not right to take the children's bread, which has to do with the gospel of the kingdom, and cast it to dogs. Made a reference to her as a dog. And she said, that's true. I accept that. That's true. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. In other words, she is saying that if I'm going to get anything from God, I've got to get it through Israel. Israel is the predominant nation. I'm just here. I'm underneath them politically and spiritually. And if I'm going to get anything to God from God, I'll get it through them. And the Lord healed her daughter. So you in time past were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But later on, the Lord saved Saul, a rebel, and sent him forth with a new gospel. It's called the gospel of Christ. Now notice in verse 13, Ephesians 2 verse 13, but now, in this present dispensation, in this present time, when Israel is a fallen nation, the Bible said in Romans 11, verse 11, through the fall of Israel, salvation is come unto the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. So we live in a time when Israel is not exalted above the nations. God will not bless you if you bless Israel. God will bless you if you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing that He died for your sins. Verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. In other words, back here in the Old Testament, and in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there was a law. That was like a middle wall that stood between the Gentiles and Israel. That law was the law of commandments contained in ordinances. And for that Gentile to get to God through Israel, he had to keep Israel's law. He had to submit himself to the Mosaic law and come to God through the nation Israel. But not so in the dispensation of grace. Now look at it again in verse 15, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of 21 new man. So the law is abolished for the believer in this age. In the dispensation of the gospel, the law is taken out of the way, according to Colossians chapter 2. Jesus Christ died for sin. Sin is transgression of the law. All your sins were placed upon Christ, and Christ did away with your sins by His death at Calvary. The wages of sin is death. Christ paid the debt by His death. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now notice in verse 16, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. You cannot be reconciled to God other than through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason that I've emphasized over and over and over, that you can pray at the altar till hell freezes over, but you can't get to God by your repentance. You can't get to God by laying aside your tobacco and your alcohol, your dancing and your card playing. The only way you can get to God is through the cross of Christ. You can't get to God except by Jesus Christ, that is, believing that He died for your sins at Calvary. And listen to me, you that believe in Christ, you that claim that you're trusting Christ, but at the same time are trying to keep the law to attain your salvation, you have not trusted Christ as your Savior. to get to God, you've got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to put your confidence in His death at Calvary, believing that He paid for all your sins. For if He did not pay for all your sins, He paid for none of your sins. Jesus Christ either paid for all your sins or none of them. All your sins were in the future when He died. And the Bible said that He died for all. And that we're justified by Christ. In verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to you that were them that were nigh. Verse 18, for through Him, through Jesus Christ, through Him crucified, through Him dying for our sins at Calvary, through His work at Calvary, through Christ having died for us, buried and risen, through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. The Holy Spirit of God will not lead you in your prayer life unless you come to God through the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins at Calvary. No matter how good you think you are, no matter how repentant you are, no matter how you suffer, no matter how faithful you are, you cannot come to God except by the cross. A woman recently told me that everything was going to be all right with her and her family because of her faithfulness to God. The woman in our conversation never one time implied that she truly believed that Christ paid for all her sins. Nor her sons, nor her daughters. You, nor your sons, nor your daughters can get to God unless they believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins. Unless they trust Him and Him explicitly. Trusting that your sins were placed upon Him and God Almighty poured out His wrath on your sins at Calvary, believing that all your sins were removed and that God can never remember them again. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells me in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, that Jesus Christ died for sinners. When we didn't have any strength, He died for sinners. The Bible tells me in verse 8 that He died for the ungodly, and He tells me in verse 10 that He died for enemies. Jesus Christ at Calvary died for you as a sinner, you as an ungodly individual. You can get to God by believing that Jesus Christ paid for all your sins. Your prayers cannot be heard unless you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you trust Him right now as your Savior? Will you lay aside all your works and commit your salvation to Him, trusting Him as your Lord and Savior? Thank you for listening today. Until next time, good day.